Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 265, and we are in chapter 7 of Leviticus, and verse 5 again. Let's read through that. I think we read that scripture, but we'll continue from this point. And this is the office now of the priesthood and their responsibilities that God is discussing here with Moses. And so we read in verse 5, "And the priest shall make them smokes," the sacrifice, that is every single one of them. He goes basically through the same routine for every single one of them, but God did not just give them a general instruction, He gave them every single one of them in detail. And that should be always noticed, that God is not a teacher that speaks in generalities. He speaks in specific, and therefore our obedience must be in specific, and our prayers, and the way we walk with Him. He doesn't leave anything to the imagination, nor does He want us to inject our own input. And so this is what he's saying here, "And the priest shall make them smoke upon the altar for an offering made by fire unto the Lord." You see, it's not unto men, it's always unto the Lord. It is a guilt offering. And then again in verse 6, "Every male among the priests." You see, not among the Levites. The Levites were not allowed to partake in that. Israel certainly were not allowed. You see, there were three categories in essence in Israel. There was a category of the priests. There was the elite, you might say in that sense, but not the elite in the human concept. The elite in the human concept, it means superiority. And then, they're better than others, and they are the top. This is, the human concept. So let's not think humanly, but from God's point of view, the ones that are closer to God in the sense of they are the ones that deal with Him on a personal basis in terms of the sacrifices, in terms of the teachings, and in terms of the instructions, and what they receive, ultimately through the high priest, they pass it on to the Levites, and the Levites pass it on to Israel. So there were always three levels there, and that's the way God made it, and it's not up to Israel to change or deviate from that, or make a difference. And so it was. It was the priest, the man, and then it was the Levite, the man, and then it was Israel, the man. And then after that came the wives and the children. So heavy in essence, five categories there. But it should not be understood in human terms where I am holier than thou, I'm better than thou, and all these things. This is not God's way. And that's what, unfortunately, people mix up their own concepts and ideas which come from Satan, not from God, with the teachings of God, and they end up with different stratums, of human sections of the society. You find like in India, they've got those two, several levels there of people there. And the ones at the bottom are the untouchable. Well, that's not what God had in mind. And so when we understand that, we realize everybody is to be respected, to be honored. Everybody is equal in the sight of God, but there are several levels in terms of responsibilities and what they should do. And none of them should strive to vie for somebody else's position. That's in essence what you have with the what are they called, the battle of the sexes. Men are vying with women, and men are vying with other men, and then different, the Levites, won the job of the priest, and then some of the priests that were given certain jobs, they wanted the job of the high priest, and so forth. And that's confusion. Instead of everyone understanding, look, these are your roles, and this is where you are, and we are all children of God. And because of abuse, people get mixed up and bent out of shape. And so when he says, "Every male among the priests may eat thereof," that's the way it works. You see, there is a father. Nobody's going to replace him with a mother. You see? And there is Jesus Christ, the high priest. He's the firstborn. He's the son of God. He's not the daughter of God. Nobody's going to replace him with the daughter of God. Somebody's saying, "Well, I'm just as good as he is. Why can't I be, the daughter of God?" You see? And replace him. It doesn't work like that. They're the priests, and they represent the Son of God. You see, the priest represents the high priest. And since the high priest is a high priest and not a high priestess, well, obviously the high priest is a male. And the Levites also are partakers with the same office, and they are men, they are not women. And so that's the reason why Paul, when he mentions that, has nothing to do with chauvinism, and some people in their ignorance, especially women, that have a chip on the shoulder because of abuse. The abuse is to the shame of men. Well, that has nothing to do with God and the truth of God and the way God made things to be. And so the thing, well, it's chauvinism there on the part of Paul. And to this very day, they regard any man that says, well, women are not allowed to preach, as a male chauvinist. Well, they even add, you know, the male chauvinist pig, you know, when they are nasty. And that's not God's way. We have to understand that God wants us to do all things in order, and so He gave us details, He gave us specific instructions, and He wants us to understand those things and follow them. You see? Not with any chip on our shoulder or an axe to grind or because of abuse and so forth. And so He made it very plain. Once we understand that, then we live in harmony and in unity. When we don't understand that, we have nothing but vying, you know, and strife and confusion and animosities, and there is no harmony and unity, you see. And then even, you know, the women, let's say the women take over, and then, you know, they take the office of the priest and the office of the preachers and the office of that and the office and the other thing. And then what? Then they're vying among themselves, and then the men vie with them back and forth. And what do we achieve? Nothing but confusion, you see. And so God gives us His path, His way, and He commands us to walk in His way, not our own way. And unfortunately, too many women, when they're seeking and vying for something that God didn't give them, forgetting what it really means, giving it their own interpretation, that's what they're doing. They're walking in their own ways and not God's. And all of us, be it men or women, should always walk in the ways of God. So nobody should be vying for authority and power, whatever it may be, unless God gave it to us. Whatever God gave to us, this is what we walk in. And so God repeats that many times, not only once, every male among the priests. You see, so nobody gets off the track, be it a man or a woman, be it a Levite, be it in another category of the people of Israel, you know, like Israelites. One king thought that he was good enough to go into the temple and offer a sacrifice, and God let him know what he thought about it. You read in the history of the kings of Judah, God struck him, you know, with leprosy right there in the temple, and then, you know, all the rest of the priests just threw him out. And that was the end of the king, who used to be righteous until that point. So see, God is not a respecter of person, be it the king, you know, be it anybody. It has nothing to do just with women. We're not talking only, you know, spending too much time just on women. It's just a reality, unfortunately, that we have here. And so when Paul is explaining that, you know, I do not suffer that a woman should speak in the church. And then he says also that this is the law of God. You know, this is what he is referring to, what we are reading here. That's the way God made it. And we're not there to argue with Him, but to follow His example. And when we do, then we have peace and harmony. If we don't, well, obviously, we're going to have troubles in this life and confusion. And then when we come before the throne of Christ, things are going to get even much worse for us. So, let's, you know, let's consider all these things. Whatever God gave us, let's fulfill that. But if He didn't give it to us, let's not inject ourselves where God didn't place us. That's arrogance and haughtiness on the part of anyone, be it a man or a woman. And so God says, every male among the priests may eat thereof. It shall be eaten in a holy place. It is most holy. As is the sin offering, so is the guilt offering. There is one law for them. You see, one Torah, that is, governs all these offerings and sacrifices. And they all came from the very mind and heart of God. Every tiny little detail in that law came from Him. You see, what to do, when to do it, who should do it, and who should not do it, obviously. You see, everything is from God, and this is one law that governs it, and that's the law of God. So, the priest that makes atonement, not the priestess, the priest that makes atonement therewith, he shall have it. And the priest that offers any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering, and mind you, this is not... And when he says about men's offering, women too brought offerings for whatever reasons, just like with the same reasons the men did. And so, whether the man or the woman brought the offering, the priest is the one that receives it, and the woman doesn't say, well, no, I don't like the priest, I want a priestess. Obviously, that's not the way it works with God. And so the priest that offers any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he has offered. And every meal offering that is baked in the oven, and all that is dressed in the stewing pan, and on the griddle, shall be the priest's that offers it. So that's his reward, but also it has a purpose, spiritual purpose. And beside that, specific instruction that he gives here, what he gets, and we don't necessarily want to go into every tiny little detail. That's not the purpose of this study. But obviously, that's when you take a small portion of the law and then you just study it and go through the tiny little details there. And that should be done on a personal basis or on a group basis. You know, a few people get together there when they discuss the law and discuss all these things. But we, you know, we just have here the overview in a better way, you know, in a more methodic way than obviously we've ever had any time in our past spiritual history. And so we read in verse 9, and every meal offering that is baked in the oven and all that is graced in the stewing pan and all the griddle shall be the priest that offers. Now suppose you want something else. Well, God says no. You see? So the Israelite who brings it to the priest, he knows exactly what the priest should take and what he should not. And that was a problem later on that developed in the sons of Eli, if you remember the story, before Samuel became the prophet. And he became the prophet because of their wickedness, or otherwise they would have continued in their office. But they decided that they want, and God said, you know, that when the Israelite brings an offering, if they boil it, you see, they should give a portion of it to the priest. And yet the priest wanted to go, and then he sent his servants to take the meat before it was even boiled. In other words, contrary to instructions, and God was not a respecter of persons. And God was very furious with that because the people of Israel got very disturbed by that. And so they lost their confidence. Now, this is the, you know, the truth of God, the religion of God. You know, just like people say today, well, this is the church of God. Who wants it? You know, I'm going somewhere else. And the Israelites felt just that way. And God was not angry with them because what they did was there is a result of their wickedness on the part of the priests. They are the ones that drove them to feel that way. And God told Eli, you caused my people to abhor my sacrifices. It's not that they abhorred God. It's because they were so disgusted, you know, that with the behavior of the priest, just like many of us have experienced that, you know, the behavior of those in leadership and their conduct and their behavior and their attitude and the corruption, you see. And that's been going on for thousands of years. There is nothing new under the sun. Then people, because of that, they turn away from religion. A lot of people are non-religious. The majority of people are non-religious. You know, some of them are secular, but many of them still, you know, maintain a measure of faith. But they don't like to darken the doorposts of a synagogue or a church or a mosque or whatever it may be, whatever, you know, wherever they are, because they see corruption in the leadership. You know, in that level that God, in his religion, placed in a certain position to do certain things. And so, not only the priest must know all these things, isn't that just a portion of the priest for them to study, but also for Israel, so they would know that when he comes before the priest, what he does, whether it be of God or not. And so that goes for both. And that's the reason in the synagogue, all were commanded to read the book of the law and to study it. And for the priest to teach them, that is a Levite also, in specific, to teach Israel the meaning of it. And so that's what you have in the synagogue to this very day. The first one that reads the portion of the law is the priest, because that's the way God made it. And the second one is a Levite, and only the third is an Israelite. In other words, he's not a priest and not a Levite. And so to this very day, chain of responsibility and the way God made it is still maintained to this very day. And whenever there is a priest in the synagogue, a Levi would never dare go and read first, you see, you know, saying, well, I'm a rich man, you know, that priest is a poor man, or he's not intelligent, or, you know, he's nobody, you see. Or an Israeli would say, well, you know, who cares about the priest and the Levite? I want to read first. It just doesn't work like that, you see. Everybody knows their place. And everybody has respect for one another. And when you walk into a synagogue and some place, especially when they are small, if they see new people come, somebody always walks around. If he doesn't know if there is somebody there, he asks, you know, are you a priest? You know, some of you ever encounter that, you would realize why they are doing it. Because the priest must be the first one, by law, you know, to partake of whether it be the sacrifice or the service in the temple or the service in the synagogue. And then the Levite and then Israel. Well, all those things were in accordance with the law of God. And everything that we read here teaches us an awful lot of things. You see, we can all respect one another. As Paul said, you know, those who are in the position of serving you, you know, give them a double portion, you see, and honor them for their service. And unfortunately, because of abuse, people now have contempt for those that God set in certain positions for a certain role, not because they're better or superior. And so we're going from one extreme to the other, which is unfortunate. And many of the people of God nowadays are in the position of the days of Eli, when they abhor, you know, they abhor the sacrifices of God. Today, you know, we have no sacrifices, but we abhor the positions that God had created there for certain people to serve us. You see, and we abhor their authority, which is from God, it's not from man, in spite of them, and it's not because of them. And we abhor their teachings, you know, and each one does that which is right in his own sight. And all of us have to repent, one way or the other, at all levels, from the top to the bottom. You see, we cannot just point the finger at somebody else and say, well, that's, you know, he's the cause of my attitude. We all are in charge of our own brain and our own mind, and God is not going to accept any of that when we stand before him. You know, he made me do it, or he caused my behavior. That's true. They're going to receive another greater portion of punishment, but we too are going to pay for our own. So whether we are in that office, this office, whether we're a man, whether we're a woman, we're all standing before Jesus Christ naked, you see. In other words, none of us is going to have any preferential treatment, whatever it may be. We're all equal before God, and therefore we're going to be equal in terms of the judgment that he's going to render against us or on our behalf based on our conduct and behavior. And when we all submit to the very law of God, as God said, one law shall be for all, we have no problems like that. It's because we don't, either by abuse or whatever it may be, that we have confusion. And so as we study these laws, you're going to see that very, you know, again and again and again, how God was very specific. And if everybody followed it, the priests and the Levi and Israel and the men and the women and the elderly and the high and the mighty and the rulers, you see, then there would be total harmony, total unity. You see, it's because we don't, to this very day, we're experiencing problems in our midst. So we're not just, you know, repeating these things to fill up time, but all these things are extremely important on our faith and journey toward the ultimate destiny of perfection. And so for every single one of us, be it a priest or a Levi, be it, you know, a man and a woman, you know, Israel, a leader, whatever it may be, to all reach the point where we are just like the high priest, our ultimate high priest, you know, as it says, you know, the office of those who are in this service, you know, the modern priesthood, so to speak, the ministry, be it, you know, apostles and prophets and teachers and, you know, and all these people, be it men or women, you know, women or two are having, you know, their part in it. And all that is for the edification of the body, the entirety of the body, until all of us, you know, rise to the point where we ascend to the fullness of the measure of the stature, you know, of our high priest, become just like him. And he does his job perfectly. You see, it's up to us who are under him to do it likewise, or at least to strive in that direction until we reach it. And so we read here, and verse 9 again, and every meal offering that is baked in the oven, and all that is dressed in the stewing pan, and all in the griddle that is on the griddle, shall be the priest that offers it. And so it's up to the people who offer it, the Israelite, be it a man or a woman, to see to it what part goes to the priest. So they have to know their knowledge, you know, their part of the deal, so to speak, you know, the instructions. They cannot come ignorant into the temple of God. And so we know what belongs to the priest, what does not. And it's not that the priest comes, you know, because he's in higher in authority or something like that and grabs it. You know, that's what the children of Eli were doing. They were grabbing it. They had no business doing it. It's up to the Israelite to offer it to the priest. It's not up to the priest to grab it from him. You see, there is no power grabbing in the kingdom of God or the family of God or the religion of God. And that's a part of the abuse, unfortunately. People take to themselves that which doesn't belong to them, be it people, you know, on top levels or nowadays, you know, between men and women. Each one takes to himself that which God didn't give us. And so God wants us to live an orderly life, not a life of confusion and rebellion. Verse 10, and every meal offering mingled with oil on dry or dry shall all the sons of Aaron have, one as well as another. And that is a very important statement, because you see, in the kingdom of men, you know, the realm of men, in the world of men, so to speak, where people do their own thing, they decide, well, you know, I'm a bigger person than you are, you know, in authority or position, whatever it may be, I deserve more. It didn't work like that with God. God says, no, you all get the same share, you see, among yourself. And that's the way he did it with a division of the land. God doesn't have those concepts that human people, you know, beings have. Well, if I'm in that high position, I'm supposed to get more money than you who are in lower position. It didn't work like that in the priesthood. They all got their fair share. Either once, you know, a priest, you know, had, you know, let's say 10 kids, he got more, so he can feed, you know, the 10 children. If he had only two, he didn't need as much, didn't get as much. It didn't make any difference, you know, what position he was in. So you see the equality there. And so was the equality also among the children of Israel. Either, you know, the families were big, they got a bigger, you know, piece of land. If they were smaller, they got a smaller piece of land. Had nothing to do, you know, with their intelligence or riches or their position in, or office in life. And that's totally contrary to the ways of men. And that's what he's saying here, and you're going to see it in many other ways as we go down the road with the law of God. And so he says, all the sons of Aaron shall have it, one as well as another. Nobody gets more, nobody gets less. And that's when God gave them the manna, that's how he commanded them to gather it. You know, you get, you know, 10 people in your family, that's as much as you're going to gather. You don't need more. You see, no hoarding in the, you know, in the path of God, in the ways of God, in his religion. You know, it's not accumulation, it's not grabbing for self, it's not somebody gets, you know, more for himself, and then the many have very little. That's the way of the world, but that's the world of the devil, not of God. And we should not be a part of it in our own midst, and yet we were in many ways. I mean, in the organizations that we see all around us, that's where we function. We do not obey the law of God, we obey the law of the jungle, you know, that is all around us, to our own shame. And so he says, all the sons of Aaron shall have one as well as another. And this is the law, this is the Torah, the sacrifice of the peace offering, which one may offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cake mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers spread with oil, and cakes mingled with oil, mind you, a thanks offering, this is what you have. If it's a sin offering, there are certain things that are not to be there, like frankincense. So all those things, you know, had to be followed exactly, and they all had spiritual meaning. And so they had wafers spread with oil and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour soaked. Now mind you, you're going to a temple. Now today you cannot conceive of that. You know, you go to services, you know, wherever we meet. You see, right on the stage there, you know, we don't see food there. We don't see a kitchen there. You know, we don't see things being cooked right there. You know, we're so different. We don't realize, you know, how far we are from the way God wanted to be worshipped. Well, you went to the temple of God, to the tabernacle of God. You went to a place where things were cooking and smelling good, and people were singing and dancing. Things were totally different than people may realize. And it's going to be again like that in the future. Shows you how far we are from God, and the difference between our mind and His mind. And so, you know, we see all these things happening there. That's a lot of commotion, so when you think about it, a lot of activity. And it's not, you know, a place where you go and it feels like a funeral place. You know, everybody's hush-hush. Only one person talks and everybody's quiet. And nothing goes on but that. The temple of God was something totally different. And so they did all those things. And verse 13, with cakes of leavened bread he shall present his offering with the sacrifice of his peace offerings or thanksgiving. And of it, he shall present one out of each offering for a gift unto the Lord. That is only one part of it. It shall be the priest that dashes the blood of the peace offerings against the altar. So, all those things were in order. Everybody knew what they're supposed to take, who's supposed to take it. And since they all studied the same law, they were just like the members of the choir or an orchestra, every single one of them knew exactly what their part is, you see. And so when the conductor came there and was conducting, you know, the whole thing, He was not conducting, you know, people who were in confusion and vying and grabbing and fighting, you know, over this and that and the other thing. There was total harmony there. And you cannot have total harmony, and the reason we don't have it is because of the same reason, unless we all abide by the same law of God. You see, and since people do not, to begin with, even study the law of God, how are they going to have harmony? How are they going to have the unity of the faith? When everybody does his own thing, and everybody believes in his own doctrine, in his own teaching, you'll never have harmony under the circumstances. Even if we're very nice to each other, which we should be to begin with, regardless, we still will never have unity nor harmony if each one has his own law. You see, and you know, they say to each other, well, you respect my law, I respect yours, and we all live in peace. Well, that sounds good. Now, God is not interested in that. To him, it's still confusion. And unless we all study the same law and abide by the same commandments, you see, and obviously there are areas where it has to do with understanding, and we have to ask God and the Holy Spirit to lead us to truth, not our own spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not going to lead every, you know, different organization to a different knowledge and understanding. That's confusion. That's not the Spirit of God. And so you see where we are in contrast to where we should be. And the major reason for that is when people forsook the law of God, they began to rely on their own understanding. You see, and only partially on the truth of God. And so when we all study the same law, we all come up with the same conclusion. You see, the priesthood didn't have confusion in the temple or the tabernacle. Nobody knew what they were supposed to do, and everybody had their own interpretation what God really meant by this or that or the other thing. You see, this is not God's religion. This is not God's church. This is not God's path and way. And if we function like that, that's our own, man-made. You see, one of these days we're going to have to wake up and realize that and begin to do things right from the ABC. And so, that's what God is saying here. And verse 14 again, and of it they shall present one out of each offering for a gift unto the Lord. It shall be the priest that dashes the blood. You know, very plain instruction. You didn't have to be a spiritual giant to understand that, to follow, you know, the ways of God. And then verse 15, the peace offerings against the altar, that is, you know, the one that does it, he's the one that receives that part. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten on the day of his offering. See, don't leave it for tomorrow because it's going to rot and would not be accepted, would not be holy. So the same day that you got it, you eat it. Well, then you know, then you have to, you got circumstances. You know, what happens if you ate and it's too much and you cannot eat more? Well, give it to somebody else among the priests. Obviously, those are details they're going to have to work out among themselves. But still, he had to do his part to begin with in accordance with the law of God, and he could not deviate from that and didn't make any difference in what office he was, you know, what position, whatever it may be. That had nothing to do with that. Our authority is God. Our authority is his word. Our authority is not man. Our authority is not any man's position. We don't ask, you know, what does so-and-so say about this and that? That's neither here nor there to God. What did God say about it? You see? And people don't ask this kind of question. They say, what does our church mean? Or teach? What did so-and-so, who is the head of that organization, said? You see, that's human, unfortunately, and people don't realize that. Verse 16, but if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a freewill offering, it shall be eaten on the day that he offers his sacrifice, and on the morrow that which remains of it may be eaten. So now he gives him, in terms of all things that we're giving as a vow, on that day and the day after, apparently those kind of things are not the kind that spoil as rapidly as the others, so they can be eaten the next day also. But that which remains of the flesh, of the sacrifice, on the third day shall be burnt with fire. Second day fine, third day no. So that's a law. Nobody could ever deviate from that. And nobody could say, well, I'm the high priest and I make my own rules here, I'm going to eat it on the third day. Well, what difference does it make what you are? The law of God is what determines that, which should be done, not any man, not any position. You see, when people begin to personalize power, take it upon themselves to decide this and that and the other thing, that's when problems began. And so people down the road, looked at that and they were not happy with it, knowing what the law of God said, and then seeing what the leaders were doing, and then gradually, there is a breakdown there, and that, is passed on to the Israelites who see, what the priest is doing and what the Levite is doing that is not supposed to be right. And then he too, you know, begins to do his own thing. Pretty soon the whole nation is in confusion and chaos, and that's what happened time and time and time again. That's what's happening in our midst, and that's what we have experienced, you know, at least many of us in the past several years. And that goes on all around us. Verse 18, "And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be at all eaten on the third day, it shall not be accepted." In other words, God says, you know, you can eat it, you know, you think that you get away with it, but I'm not going to accept it. You see? Now, this is what he's talking about. You cannot come before God and say, "God, you know, please, you know, bless this meal that we're eating, about to partake, and thank you in Jesus' name," whatever it may be. You see, obviously we speak in terms of our terminology, but if God says, "Hey, on the third day I'm not going to accept it," well, we're praying in vain. And so it was also, obviously, in the temple, in the tabernacle of God. That's the rule. We follow it. As simple as that. And it doesn't make any difference who said so, who didn't say so. You see? If God said that, that's in His Word, we follow that rule. Regardless of whether it was in the days of Moses or Aaron, a generation later, or a thousand years later, or, you know, in the days of Christ, the priests had to abide by the same rules. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering shall be at all eaten on the third day, God makes it very plain, it shall not be accepted. In other words, I'm not going to accept it. And not only that, you're going to be punished for that because you're disobeying the law of God. That's contempt and blasphemy. Neither shall it be imputed unto him that offers it. So even the person that offered the sacrifice, you see, they just leave it around for a while because they didn't get to eat it. It's as if he never offered anything. So you see, both are going to suffer. You know, the priest, who didn't do his job, and the person, the Israelite, you know, man or woman that brought it, both of them are going to be in the wrong, as far as God is concerned. And therefore, you know, obviously they had to be careful about this. Couldn't play games with the law of God. And it shall be an abhorred thing, and the soul that eats of it shall bear his iniquity. So God is going to step in and impose, you know, the penalty on those who are responsible for it. The Israelite should be also responsible, making sure that the priest is eating it. You see, he should bring it to his attention. "Hey, you know, I brought you the offering, you're not eating it. What's wrong? You know, you got to do it." And then if he does his part, obviously he's not going to bear his iniquity, the priest would, although, you know, whoever is responsible for doing it. But God, one way or the other, is going to make sure that justice is done. And those people are going to have to repent of that, and they're going to have themselves to offer an offering. The priest himself will have to offer a sacrifice for his own iniquity. And so you see, you know, the law of God was supreme, because that is a representation of the mind and the nature and character of God, and we cannot play games with that, and regardless of who we are and what position we are. When people lose respect and honor, you see, for the Word of God, realizing this is God speaking, then obviously you have an awful lot of problems. And that's when it says, you know, that the fish stinks from the head. And it shouldn't stink from anywhere, neither from the tail nor from the head. And so we read in verse 19, "And the flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten." And look how careful that was. You know, people had to be about that. If you have flesh that you offered it to God, and it, you know, that flesh came in contact with something that was unclean, that has not been sanctified, God says, well, that's not holy and should not be eaten. So obviously they had to be extremely careful with every detail. And that's why God also tells us that we who are the clean, the washed ones, you know, who walk in the ways of God, who have the Holy Spirit, we should not be messing around, you know, with the unclean, you see, because then we become defiled. That's why God tells us, as a whole, come out of Babylon, my people, because otherwise you are going to be defiled with Babylon in her pollution and contamination, and then you too, because of that, are going to bear your iniquity, you are going to be partakers of her plagues. So you see the principle here, and God is teaching us that, and they had to follow that. And if they had a problem, well, you know, somebody was careless, and they should not have been, and the flesh was placed in the wrong place, and they touched something that was not sanctified, was not holy, They had to throw it away because God was not to accept it, was not about to accept it, and they could not play games with that. And certainly, the eyes of God are watching everything, so they cannot say, well, nobody knows, nobody's going to get hurt, and let's do it. There had to be a good measure of faith there to realize that God is watching, we cannot play games with Him. Verse 20, but the soul that eats of the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offerings that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, you see, that soul shall be cut off from his people. And so somebody comes to the temple, brings an offering, and himself is unclean, and there are laws later on that we're going to cover. What is it that makes a person, be it a man or a woman, unclean? And that meat, God says, should not be eaten. You see, because it either, you know, the place is in the wrong place and it touched something that was not holy and sanctified, or the person that came and handled it or touched it himself was unclean, and that could be the priest too that may be unclean, and he touched it, and so that makes the flesh unclean. And God was not going to take it lightly. And that's what he's saying here. And you know, these are not just physical things, these are all spiritual in nature. They're symbolic of the state of mind, and you know, the priest, or the Levite, or the people of Israel, and of all of us to this very day. It's still the same. God does not change. Jesus Christ does not change. It's the same law. And Jesus Christ, to begin with, is the one speaking here to Israel. And so we are reading, as people may not think about it that way because of blindness and ignorance of 2,000 years, we are reading Christian doctrines, Christian principles, Christian teachings, whatever you want to call it, you know, when people like to place that name there on everything, that's what it is. That's not old stuff. Well, since that was Jesus Christ giving that law, what's old about it? And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And never dawns on men to even think like that on people because of their ignorance and the way they have departed from God a long time ago. And how many of us are in this category? You know, it never dawns on us. We're reading here the teachings of Christ. You know, the law of Christ. You know, the doctrine of Christ. You see, they all believe in the same great, you know, lie, the big fat lie, some people would call it, of the great whore. That 2,000 years ago, a new religion came about and it's called Christianity, and we're now members of it, and let's forget about the old religion. There was no such a thing. There's only one religion as far as God is concerned, and it's still the same to this very day. In every tiny little detail that is applicable to this very day, and it was all given by the same person, ultimately the Father, and then after that, the one that became His Son, Jesus Christ. At this point, you know, He's the God of Israel, you see, and it's still the same. And He came right on, when He came in the flesh, He said, hey, don't think that I came to do away with the Torah, you see, all these teachings that I gave you in Sinai, it's my teachings that I gave you from God, you know, the manna that came down from heaven. Heaven and earth shall pass, but not one jot or one tittle shall pass from this Torah. You see? So how can people say, well, you know, we're Christians, we're in Christianity, and, you know, this is not for us, that's old stuff, that's for Israel. Well, it shows you an awful lot of ignorance, and those people are still in Babylon, regardless of what they think they are, you know, in the sight of God, or in their own sight. Verse 21. Let's read that. Verse 20. To emphasize that, but the soul that eats all the flesh, all the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertains unto the Lord, it belongs to Him, having his uncleanness, or her uncleanness, be it the priest, or the Levite, or Israel, upon him, that soul shall be cut off from his people, and God is going to make sure that it happens. You see? And people that defile the temple by bringing their uncleanness there, you know, are going to have to face, you know, the council there, that may execute, you know, that penalty on them. And so we read in verse 21, and when anyone shall touch any unclean thing, whether it be the uncleanness of a man, or an unclean beast, or an unclean detestable thing, you know, somebody thinks, well, an insincere person, you know, why can't I bring a pig to the temple, or lobster, or whatever it may be, and I offer it to God, you know, this is the best stuff, you know, I'm a fisherman, and my profession is, you know, lobster fisher, you see, you don't do that with God. And so we don't do any of those things. Those are the instructions of God, and they have never changed. And so any detestable thing, and the eat of the flesh, or the sacrifice of peace offerings, which pertains unto the Lord, that soul shall be cut off from his people, because God is a holy God, and he told us, be you holy as I am holy. A lot of us are not listening to this, and do not believe in that. They think, we can bring our own background and our own, vomit, that we got from the former religion, whichever it was, and offer it before God, be it in singing, we bring, people would say, when I was a kid, I used to go to the Baptist church, Methodist church, Catholic church, whatever it may be, and we sang those beautiful songs, and I want to sing them to God now. You see, were they composed for God, the God of Israel, the God of truth, or were they composed for their concept of God, or their ideas? Sometimes we have to think about that, and how God feels about it, about all those things. And be it music, be it, any practice that they had, anything that they've done, any procedure, all kind of things like that. God told Israel there are many things that they should not do, not because by themselves they were wrong, but because the Gentiles were doing them, and he said, I don't want you to resemble them. You see? And when we sit down and study the law of God and go very deeply into it, we begin to realize, as Paul said, I thought I was doing well, I thought I was alive until the knowledge of the law came, you see? And then sin revived and I died. And many of us are in that category, and we don't realize that. Our eyes have not been opened yet to see our sinfulness in many ways. And God says, a person like that is going to be cut off. Verse 22. And that's very important to think about it, because a lot of people, innocent in their own eyes, maybe good people, sincere, they will come before God with their vomit. They think it's righteousness, but from God's point of view, their vomit. The lawlessness, their attitudes, the things that they do, and God doesn't accept it. And they come before him and says, hey, Lord, Lord, where are your people too? Open before us the door. And he says, hey, no, you are not my people. You are workers of iniquity, and I don't even know you. Get out of my sight. How would you like, to hear that? Thinking all your life that you are a righteous man or a righteous woman. You see, that's pathetic. That's why we have to study the law of God, to know. Look at the mirror of the law, to know where we are in the dark and where we are in the light. Because we're not going to bring it before him and expect him to allow us in. Verse 22, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. So now he speaks after the priests, he speaks now to the children of Israel themselves, because all of them had to have knowledge and information. And this time, Moses is addressing Israel, he's not addressing the priesthood. So there is a time to address the leadership, and there is a time to address Israel, and that's in essence what all the apostles were doing, all their letters were not addressed to the ministry, they were addressed to the people, directly, to the entirety of the congregation. And that's exactly, mind you, all the apostles were trained in the law of God, and they know how God deals with his people. When he needs to speak specifically to the priesthood, he speaks to them. But when he needs to speak to his own people, he does that too. And some people think, everything has to go through the official channels. Don't speak to the congregation. Speak directly to the minister and he'll pass it on. Well, there are times to do it and there are times not to do it. And the law of God teaches us all these items, all these matters. And so it says, you speak to the children of Israel, saying, you shall eat no fat, period. And how many of us are what we are because we eat fat? You see? He said, don't eat fat. And fat comes in so many ways, and people are eating it, and they don't look as they're supposed to. We don't look like, a lot of people don't look like God meant for them to look like. And especially in this generation, you see that people all around, and they just take it for granted. Well, God accepts me the way I am. Now, God is not pleased with that. God wants us to look the way he created us to be, and many of us, because of all the junk food that we eat, we look the way we do, and we have all the sicknesses and diseases that we do. And then, we plead with God, for healing. And we don't realize that we are walking in sin. We have to first confess our sins and remove them from us before God would even, pay attention to our prayers. A lot of people don't hear it. That's what Paul was saying to the Corinthians. You are not discerning the body of Christ. You're not discerning his teachings, his doctrine. That's why many of you are sickly, weakly, and some are dead. And to this very day, we experience that. And people make a mockery out of the sacrifice of Christ by doing all their, all their junk eating and this and that and the other thing, and then come before God and plead for him to heal them and atone for their, for their illnesses, whatever it may be, with the blood of his son. And Paul said, no, you cannot do that. You cannot, treat the sacrifice of Christ, in such a cheap manner by disobeying His law on one hand and then expecting Him to forgive you or atone for your sins with His own blood and heal you or whatever it may be. God says, you shall not eat fat. He addressed it to every single one of us. Don't eat it. How many people eat it? There are countries, where they just revel in eating fat. He says, don't eat no fat of ox, of sheep, or goat, for that matter, of anything else, because of what it does to the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is the body. It defiles it. A lot of people are defiled. What do you think? We have all those heart attacks and cancer and all these evil diseases are with us. We're all defiling our bodies. And then we pray to God for healing, and God doesn't heal many. It's very obvious. Because of that, we're not discerning the body of Christ. And the body of Christ includes His teachings, because that's what He said. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, that's my body. And He's speaking about His spiritual teachings. You see? So we do not discern the body of Christ. Well, anyway, we're going to stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.